Just as a lot of offices were shutting down and putting off major moves, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rendered its big decision on Jordan Cove. Jordan Cove is the plan for a liquefied natural gas export terminal near North Bend and a 230-mile pipeline running to it from the Klamath Basin. That's a lot of southern Oregon to cross. Opponents have been vocal all the way, and they're not holding back now. Let's hear from two. Bill Gow is a landowner in Douglas County, presumably in the pathway to the pipeline. Bill Gow, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
David Bookbinder is with us as well. He's the chief counsel at the Niskanen Center, which is a D.C. think tank that confronts climate skeptics among its major policy thrusts. David, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
So FERC's decision can't really have been much of a surprise to either of you, was it, Bill Gow? Bill?
What was the question?
The decision. It can't have been much of a surprise, I'm thinking.
I thought it was a real surprise for me because I was leaning towards denial, because if you really look at this project, it made no sense for an approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there was nothing in this in the facts that supported approval.
David Bookbinder, how did you read the decision from where you sat?
I was disappointed but not particularly surprised. We work on numerous FERC pipeline issues around the country, and FERC views itself as being in the business of building pipeline infrastructure. And so they have only turned down two pipeline permits out of the last 600 or 700 applications. So we were disappointed, but, you know, kind of expecting this and ready to go to court.
So has FERC always been this way? You talk about the 600 or 700 previous applications. Is this I mean, I don't know how long a trend that is and whether this is FERC historically or just FERC recently.
FERC historically has viewed itself as being in the how can we help the pipeline industry business. And now it's become more noticeable because more and more pipelines are being built because of the fracking explosion in natural gas. And because with more pipelines being built, they're being built in more areas where more people are becoming aware of them. And more landowners, like Bill, are saying, hold on a second here, what about us?
So, Bill, talk about yourself. Where is your land in Douglas County, and how much of it would the pipeline cross?
I'm just south of Roseburg, between just east of the freeway between Roseburg and Myrtle Creek. I sit in those mountains right up there. They're going to go through a couple miles of my property probably, but it's all kind of up in the air yet because they've changed things so many times. But they're going to take about 26 acres of my ground.
26 acres, okay. And this is for a 36-inch pipeline. But the pathway has to be, what, 50 feet wide? Is that the right of way?
100 feet to start and then down to 50. Mm-hmm. They'll take 100, and of course, there'll be construction lanes, roads, all kinds of other stuff. It has quite an effect on your property.
You mentioned changes to the pipeline route. I know there have been some adjustments along the way, but has it ever moved completely off your property in any of those configurations?
No, I still got it no matter what. Yeah. How lucky am I?
So, Bill, you've been contacted. I imagine you've been talking to the people from the Pacific Gas Transmission Pipeline operation, right?
No, they have not contacted me for many, many years. And everything's been kind of secretive. They're moving around trying to basically deceive people to try and take their land.
So no direct contact at all, you're saying?
Not for a long, long time.
Okay, but there has been some a long time ago, you're saying?
Oh, 10, 12 years ago since they contacted me.
Wow. And what was your response to the contact?
I told them I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. This is my property, and that I want to leave it here for my family because my family and I are ranchers, and we have a... This is why we ranch, because we love the privacy. We don't want people running in and out of our ranch. It'd be no different than people running in and out through your house.
All right. So, David Niskanen, let's come to you and give us a sense of the approach of the Niskanen Center on this or any LNG project.
Well, we focus mostly on the pipelines. And the pipeline boom has given us plenty of opportunity to understand how bad FERC's process is, from lack of notice to landowners that this is happening, to making it very difficult for landowners to become involved in the FERC permitting process, to FERC working very hard to keep landowners from ever challenging their decision, writing certificates, writing permits for pipelines that allow them to take and, you know, alter and destroy people's property, even if in the end the pipeline never gets built. And at the very end of the process, allowing pipelines to take people's property but not pay for it until years later. From soup to nuts, from beginning to end, there are huge problems with FERC's process. And so far they've shown a little bit of interest in fixing some of them. And I'm glad to say, actually, the Jordan Cove certificate does mark a watershed in terms of one of those problems, which is it very specifically says that the pipeline company may not cut trees or engage in ground-disturbing activities, no excavation, no digging, no tree cutting, until it has all of the necessary permits for both the pipeline and the LNG terminal. And that's good protection for landowners, because that means, you know, they're not faced with a situation where everything gets dug up and trees are cut for no purpose whatsoever. And it also means they've got at least a couple more years before anything bad will happen to their land, because Jordan Cove is lacking major federal permits without which it cannot go forward.
We are talking about Jordan Cove, the LNG project, here on the Jefferson Exchange with David Bookbinder of the Niskanen Center and Bill Gao, who's a landowner in Douglas County. And here is the response from Pemina, the company that wants to build all this. It says, "We appreciate FERC's science-based approach to their review. The approval emphasizes yet again that Jordan Cove is environmentally responsible and is a project that should be permitted given a prudent regulatory and legal process was undertaken." That's from Harry Anderson, the Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Counsel at Pemina, the Canadian company pushing for all of this. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, David, in all the experience with pipelines, I would assume there's been a lot more activity in the years since the fracking boom started loosening up all this additional oil and gas in the country.
Yes, all over the country. Not a lot on the West Coast. The Jordan Cove project is one of the, you know, few out there, mostly in the southern and eastern United States. Pipelines going every which way, and they're being fought on all sorts of grounds. And from the property owner's viewpoint, we don't necessarily oppose building natural gas pipelines. We just want to make sure that there's a fair process for landowners. And right now they're being trodden underfoot by a bureaucracy that simply views its job as issuing permits and not taking care of the people whose land the pipeline companies are taking.
Is the issue with the membership of FERC or with the mission of FERC as understood by anybody who sits on that commission?
That's an excellent question. It's a combination of both. As I said, FERC traditionally regards itself as being in the business of permitting pipeline infrastructure. But the individual members of the five-person commission, although right now they're only four, have at times expressed serious concerns about how landowners are being treated. But those have not risen to the level yet of commanding a majority of the commission. But it's good to see that they're at least going, hold on, you know, this is a problem here, or that's a problem over there, or there's an environmental problem. Indeed, the Jordan Cove certificate had a dissent from one of the four commissioners. And, you know, we have to go through the process of asking them to revisit their decision, which is truly a formality because FERC always affirms what it has previously done, and then we take them to court.
So, Bill Gao, on your land in Douglas County, both Oregon Governor Kate Brown and Senator Ron Wyden, who've been neutral in the past, slammed FERC's decision. What did you make of all that?
Well, it's about time they came to our side and started
helping us a little bit, because I would think they would be wanting to protect Oregon just as much as the rest of us. You know, I mean, this is going to be a major change in the Oregon that we know and love. And I'm a person that loves the way Oregon is, and I don't want any bunch of industry and stuff into Oregon. And I love the fact that it's rural, and that's why I live here, and that's why I want to raise my family here, and that's why a lot of people come here. And to face eminent domain on my property just to protect my values is pretty crazy. And that's the part that really bothers me. And what a lot of people don't understand on this is this pipeline is to transport Canadian gas down through Oregon and to Asia. There's no offtake in Oregon. They want to use eminent domain to take my property for something that does no benefit for Oregonians. All it does is destroy our countryside and put a scar across it, and then change the way Coos Bay has been and should be. And I'll tell you, it's a real mess, and for no good for the Oregon people. And I could understand it if it was a freeway, even though I might not like it going through my property. It would make sense if it was a freeway or something like that, because it's for public need and necessity. This thing has no benefit to the public, and that's the part that really bothers me.
So it's just kind of passing you by, and you're not getting any gas or any other benefit.
No, there's no gas. There's no offtake in Oregon, and it's Canadian gas. This isn't American gas. What people don't understand, this is Canadian gas comes down the east side of Oregon, cuts across through Oregon, gets loaded on ships, and goes to the Asian market so the company can make jillions of dollars on the backs of the American people with no benefit to me other than a few. They want to give me a few dollars to cross my land.
Was the dollar figure ever discussed, Bill?
Yeah. They offered me $14,000.
$14,000 for basically, what did you say, how many miles?
A couple miles and 26 acres.
Okay, 26 acres, $14,000. Wow, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, does
it? No. Yeah, I've spent more than that just fighting this thing for 15 years. It's a joke.
David Buchbind, I'll finish up with you. It seems like this is a bit of a Pyrrhic victory in the short term, with the economy heading for the dumps and prices for fossil fuels already in the dumps. I mean, Essentially, Pembina can't make any money off this in the near term, as indicated by many, many business analysts.
Yes, no, Pembina's not going to make any money off of it in the near term, and it may not make money off it in the long term. But we're going to have to wait and see what they do. They may pull the plug on the project. They may get their permits and then say, we're not ready to commit billions of dollars to make this thing. On the other hand, it's not just what happens in Oregon at the terminal. Pembina is a Canadian gas company, and they are moving. It's not their gas. They don't drill for gas, but they carry it in Canada and they process it in Canada. So they've got a profit margin up there that they have to look to as well. If they can get it out down and out through Oregon, that helps them in their upstream profits. But ultimately, this is all for the benefit of a Canadian corporation and for moving Canadian natural gas. And we are eager to get in front of some judges and ask them how this is a public use under the Constitution.
Okay, so certainly not the last we've heard of Jordan Cove by a long shot. David Buchbinder is the chief counsel at the Niskanen Center in Washington. Bill Gow, a landowner in Douglas County, potentially facing the pipeline across his land. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you both.